Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 43. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the show notes page, which is theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new podcast or episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. Some of you may have been receiving some emails about some YouTube videos I've been creating. There'll be more to come. I videotaped all the pick reviews all at once, and when I was going back through and looking at it, I hated it. I thought it was terrible. So I'm starting all over again. Whole new approach to it. Well, not a whole new approach, but almost a whole new approach to the filming of those pick reviews. So I can't wait to really get those done, get some of those out for you, if not all of them. And so I got to tell you, I already recorded this episode, recorded it the other night, and I thought it was great. I was like, this is one of the best episodes I've done ever. And then I went to save, and it crashed, and I lost it, and I almost lost my mind. I was so upset. Sometimes. Anyway, so guess what? You get to do it all over again. That's that. You know, what are you going to do? Am I going to go on to episode 44? No. I'm going to do it again. Back to the videos. I want to talk a little bit about that. If you watch the videos, you'll notice that I'm not showing my face in the videos, just my hands, my guitar, or the equipment, or what are the, you know, the pedal or the amp, or whatever. So you're seeing my hands work, or seeing the equipment, but you're not seeing my face. And that I'm meaning for that, I'm not wanting to show my face, but not because I'm ashamed or anything like that. It's just that when I was a kid, I listened to the radio a lot and thought the DJs were like the coolest guys ever. And I had image of what these guys would look like Johnny, you know, Dr. Johnny Fever or something like that, you know, that they were ultra cool and all this stuff. And then when I first saw a picture of someone like Casey Kasem or other people that were, you know, big time local DJs, I was really like, really? That's what that guy looks like? So. And then again, my favorite podcast that I listened to when I first started listening, I was like, this is great. And I had this image of what Jack looks like. And then he started doing videos and I saw what he looked like. I'm like, well, that's not at all what I thought he would look like. So poof, that was gone. That's pretty much my rationale why I'm not showing my mug on my videos, just my hands. I mean, you can kind of, you know, see that. Well, that's it. You know, you just see my hands and my guitar and whatever else. But I would love to hear from the audience to see, you know, are you on board with that? Just want to keep this whatever mental image you have of me on the podcast or on the videos so that you don't see, or do you want to see? It may not even matter what your opinion is, because I may just say, whatever, I'm not going to show my face anyway. So, but I'd love to hear from you, get your opinion, see what you think. So, with that, I'm going to get on to the main topic of today's show. I got an email from Jed, and enough other people have asked me about this in person on emails and suggested topic lists and everything that I thought, man, it's really about time I talked about this anyway and kind of tell you what I know about this subject and my opinion, because, you know, I readily offer up my opinion on this show. So Jed writes, I'm really enjoying your podcast. It's perfect for a long commute. I just found the guitar podcast recently, so you may have already talked about this, but could you talk about Class A amp circuitry? I played through a Bad Cat amp a few years ago. The overall tone and tone of the attack on the string blew me away. Awesome tone, in parentheses, expensive tone. Thanks for putting together and continuing to produce the guitar podcast. Jed. Well, Jed, like I said, I want to talk about Class A circuitry, but I have to define something else before we really get into Class A circuitry. And thanks for the compliments. I'm glad you listen. And, you know, I listen to my favorite podcasts on my drive in to and from work as well. And I will say the Bad Cat amps are bad. They are so cool. One of my best friends uses one, and the tones you can get out of are really, really cool. And it's not, you know, it's not a really high wattage amp. So, it gets pretty loud, but it's not like, you know, 100-watt Marshall Plexi loud, take your head off and blow up the world type of loud. So, which is really nice. But you get big sound out of it. It's really cool. So, yeah, the Bad Cats are really, really nice. But they are pretty pricey. So, anyway, so the other night I recorded this episode and emailed Jed back saying, hey, thanks, Jed. Enjoy. Enough people have talked to me in person about Class A versus Class AB circuitry, and I've had the subject push and pull and Class A amps in my queue for subjects for a long time, and for long enough. Your email has pushed me to where I have to talk about it, so please. So episode 43 is all about Class A amps. And he writes back, wow, that's great. I'm looking forward to that episode. I'm like, oh, well, crap. You know, I got to redo it now. Not that I wasn't going to do it anyway, but that's where I was. So I've already had an email back and forth with Jed about this, and just wanted to kind of fill in this so that, you know, y'all are in the loop. He said, by the way, this is the intro and closing music for the podcast, yours. The feedback notes sound really cool. Actually, no, it's not me. It's not my guitar. It's not. Some pretty good friends of mine. Their band. It's the Greg Frazee band. Greg Frazee. I can leave links to his. I think I'm not sure if his site's still up or not. But if it is, I'll leave a link to his site in the show notes. He and one of my really good buddies, Kyle Wood, were playing on that. I'm not sure if there was another guitar player on that or not, but one of those amps may very well have been a Bad Cat amp that you're hearing in the intro and outro, and the other one was probably a Dr. Z. So they're both boutique amps and probably considered Class A. I don't know. But you'll hear my opinion on the Class A, Class AB battle here as we talk about this. So we want to know about Class A circuitry. And I will tell you that all I know about Class A versus Class AB circuitry, I either know from playing on different amps over the years or this great book called The Guitar Amp Handbook, Understanding Tube Amplifiers and Getting Great Sounds by Dave Hunter. Dave Hunter knows much more than about amps and building amps and servicing amps than I will ever know. And this book is really good. As soon as I got it for Christmas about 2 years ago, I read it. I just dropped everything else and read this book. And I've gone back and thumbed through it to find, you know, to refresh some things about, you know, did I remember that right? And, you know, what he said. And, you know, of course, I Google things, ask, you know, looking for information that way too. But this is a great, great book to have on hand, and I'll put a link to this book in the show notes as well. I think I linked to it on the home site in like the recommended stuff, recommended gear and books and stuff like that. I think I linked to it then there, and it's a great book. I really like it a lot. So I'm going to reference it quite a little bit here today and probably read some word-for-word text right from the book and kind of get a good idea about where he's coming from with this too. So with that, when we're talking about Class A or Class A, we can't talk about Class A without talking about Class AB circuitry. So I need to define, first off, Class AB circuitry. Class AB circuitry is, when we talk about this circuitry, it's all in the output stage of the amplifier. It's where the big tubes, the power tubes work, or power tube works, and in conjunction with the output transformer. So in a Class AB circuitry, it uses what they call a push-pull mechanism. So on the upside of the wave, the power wave comes through the output section, you have to have at least two power tubes in an AB amp. And it could be two, it could be four, it could be six, it could go on until you have an amp the size of your car, if you want. But the thing is, let's keep it simple with two power tubes. While one tube is doing the work, one tube is working while the other tube is taking a little rest. And then as the wave comes back up in the one that was taking a rest, the other tube that was working takes a rest. So it goes, A tube is working, B tube is resting, then B tube is working, then A tube is resting. So you see how it push-pull? It's kind of like whenever you're pedaling your bike. It's like the right leg works, the left leg works. The right leg works, then the left leg works. But whenever one leg is working, the other one is resting. It's just like that. It's just like push-pull, push-pull, push-pull. Get it? So then when you're talking about Class A circuitry, typically, in true Class A circuitry, there's only one tube, and it's working all the time. The wave is constant. It's solid. It's not as efficient, and it won't move as much power through the system as a push-pull system will. Most all of your Class A circuitry amps will be very low wattage, 4, 6, or 8 watts. The early ones would be very low wattage. Now, if you wanted to increase that wattage, what they would do is they would run two tubes side by side acting as if they were one. So the circuitry would run through them. So, but still, they're not pushing and pulling back and forth with each other. If they're true Class A, they're working just as hard as the other one is. You know, tube one is working as hard as tube two is, you know, whenever the power is coming through, no matter how loud or soft it is or how hard you hit your strings, they're working. It's not efficient, but there's a really, really cool overdrive you get from those amps. Now then, going to reference the book a little bit here. And now that you have a kind of a basic understanding of the difference between a Class A circuitry and Class AB circuitry with the push-pull mechanism, it's 5859. That's where it is. Okay, so this is from page 58, directly from the Guitar Amp Handbook by Dave Hunter. And I'm giving him all this credit on here because this is an awesome book, and don't want to be plagiarizing his material because it's really good stuff. And I'm not going to read the whole book to you because then nobody would buy his book. You just listen to this free podcast. And I don't want that. I want you to buy his book because it's very good. Actually, in the back of the book, he shows you how to build your own, I think it's a champ, like a tweed champ. Very, very simple circuitry. And, this is a book that once I read it, I got really excited. I was like, yeah, I could do it. I could build my own amp. And then I said, well, let me buy one of those build your own clone tremolo pedals and see how I do with that. Well, mine works just fine when it's not in its case, but somehow when I put it in the case, it's shorting out on something or other and it doesn't work right. So, and now it's been sitting on the shelf for about a year in that same condition where, you know, if I put it in the case, it shorts out. If it's not in the case, It works just fine. So I think I need to master that before I move on to make my own amp. But that's one really cool thing about this. It tells you all this information about different kinds of amps and circuits and capacitors and resistors and a bunch of great stuff. And then in the end, how to build your own amp. So that's really cool. And I actually think it's a true Class A amp, if I remember correctly. So then, right from the book, he says, and this takes us to another main factor of output stages, operating class. Amps perform, as he just described previously, which I'm not reading to you, are Class AB amplifiers. By definition, one side of the push-pull tube pair of the Class AB amplifier rests for the same portion of time, or same portion of the cycle, when measured at maximum volume before clipping, and that is very, very important. We'll get to that later. I'll say that again. When measured at maximum volume before clipping. In simple terms, that's really all there is to the definition of Class AB, or at least all you need to worry about. Unless, you know, you're a high-tech, you know, amp builder and everything, but you already know this stuff, so why are you listening? Other than just say, Lauren, you're an idiot. Well, you wouldn't be too far off. An output section operating in true Class A has the tubes working the entire cycle of the waveform, again, when measured at maximum volume before distortion. The key there is before distortion, okay? So this is true even of push-pull amplifiers where both tubes are sending the signal along to the output transformer together at all times, not alternately resting as with an AB. As such, Class A output stages are somewhat or less efficient than Class AB stages, which can be driven to higher output levels. Players and amp makers often talk of sweeter distortion in Class A amps. But true Class A operation actually has less distortion content at a given output level, albeit a smoother onset of distortion when it comes, and one that's usually heard as being harmonically richer. So, that's the end of the quote there, and I interjected my little bit of opinion and information there in the middle of the quote. So I hope you were able to discern the two. So you see there's a distinct bit of information there. When they talk about the distortion, and the big part of this is whenever it's before it clips at distortion, okay? So maybe the onset of distortion at that point is different than the AB. Okay, I'm going to read on. He says, but the fact that the definitions of operating class are measured at maximum output before distortion should tell you something. A lot of voodoo is talked about Class A, particularly by amp makers, marketing departments, eager to sell you a particular new model. The sound of true Class A operating within the realm of its definition is actually something different than the advertising slogan, real Class A tube amp, means to imply. So, with that in mind, I'm going to read off some amps that are Class AB, and you will recognize them, I'm sure. The Tweed Fender Bassman, the Deluxe Reverb, the Dumble Overdrive Special, which is like the most expensive amp in the world. Well, one of them. It's like a $35,000 amp. Yeah. And the Marshall JTM50. Or a little Plexi 18 Water. They're all Class AB amps. Oh, and my JCM800. I'm sure that's a Class AB amp. Most of the great big high watt amps, the high power amps, and your Mesa Boogies and stuff like that, they're Class AB. They're push-pull. They're putting a lot of power through the tubes in the output section, and so they're AB. And they sound great, right? They all sound different, right? Okay, when they're pushed to distortion. And that's a key part of why we want an amp is the way it distorts. If it's, you know, if it's warm or bright or whatever, you know, thick, scooped or whatever adjective you want to use to describe the distortion. Rich, harmonic. So then a few amps that are class A are the Fender Champ, the Vox AC4, Gibson GA5. These are amps that are very, very low watt, and they may probably only have the one output tube, maybe a rectifier tube, something really simple. Okay, now then something a little bigger would have two side by side, and it may get it up to 18 to 14 watts or something like that, which makes me wonder about my Gibson GA40, which has two 6V6s, and it's only about 14 watts. So, and I've done some research trying to find out if it's Class A or Class AB. It's a 1956 GA40, and it sounds so awesome. I love the amp. It's very low wattage. I mean, it gets loud, but whenever I crank it all the way to 10, it's nowhere near what my Marshall would be at 10. I like my neighbors, and I don't want them to be mad at me, so I don't do that to them. I won't turn my Marshall up to 10. I think even turning it up to 5, I think they wouldn't be very happy. So, anyway, I don't fully know. I'm going to keep on doing research on it, and I'll post in the show notes later on when I actually do find out if my GA40 is Class A or Class AB. But it is low wattage, it has great tone. I almost like it better than my Marshall, but it's one of those sleepers. It's a 50s tweed, but it's not, because it's made by Gibson. But Gibson's marketing department wasn't what Fender's marketing department was in regards to their amps, so nobody really knows about them. Don't tell anybody. Now, I'm reading in this book, and it's talking about a push-pull version of the Gibson GA20. I am, with that in mind, the GA20 is kind of the little brother of the GA40. And if it's push-pull, then more than likely, my GA40 is push-pull too. But I haven't found any definitive information about it yet. But I've suspected all along it's push-pull, that it's not Class A. So I'm going to read a little bit more from the book. This is on page 60. Let's back up to where he's... An output stage in cathode bias is less efficient than one the same tube component set at as fixed bias, but has a softer, somewhat more harmonics-rich onset of distortion with a little more compression from the output tubes, too. This all occurs regardless of whether true optional class is A or AB, but these characteristics are all frequently assigned to the former. The lack of a negative feedback loop in many cathode-based biased designs, which also makes an amp a little gainier, looser, and more saturated sounding, further supports the misrepresentation of a Class A label. More of that later. But notice for now that our Princeton, all champs, and most other single-ended amps that are true Class A and cathode biased do in fact possess negative feedback loops around their output sections rather than excluding them. These amps are inherently hot, gainy, sparkly, and rich, and need a little reining in, if anything, hence the loop. The fact that these single-ended designs, which are among the only amps out there we can undisputedly call Class A, carry a number of circuit elements that go against the rule for Class A sound, as defined by many modern models, makes them interesting cases for consideration. One of the larger cathode biased amps is the Vox AC30, which was the original source of so much of the Class A legend in the first place. It also happens to lack a negative feedback loop. If you do dig through a stack of vintage catalogs and magazine ads, you won't find Vox touting the AC30 in bold letters as a Class A amp. It wasn't a buzzword in the 60s. But in later years, players and techs analyzing a few great examples and deciding they must be running in Class A have helped to create much of the hype. If there's something to it, fine. But it's important to understand the main defining factors of sound, of that sound we think we're seeking is in a Class A amp have more to do with cathode biasing and a lack of a negative feedback. What do you think of that? All right, here's another nice little tidbit from the book that he's talking about the Class A versus Class AB war. So it's like a class war. There are not distinctions of qualities as such in the way that food labels like grade A beef are, for example. Two simple facts are worth nailing down in any discussion of this class war. One, very few of the amps sold as Class A actually are when tested against the scientific definition of the term. Two, most amps that are broadly considered classic Class A amps sound the way they do for many other reasons besides their actual or supposed operating class. So then, I'm not going to read any more from the book. I suggest you buy the book and read the whole thing, and you learn a lot more about amps than just Class A, Class B. You learn about all sorts of different things, long-tailed pair and biasing amps, fixed bias, and cathode biasing, all this stuff that I don't fully understand. I need to read the book like a dozen times and then start playing with amps and then electrocute myself. Well, minus the electrocute myself. But what it comes down to is when we're talking about the distortion, perhaps the Class A has a different onset of the distortion than a Class AB does. But I've heard a bunch of Class A amps or supposed or marketed Class A amps sound different than each other. And it has to do with the tubes. It has to do with the speakers. Sometimes the cabinets that they're in. The way the circuit goes through the path. And I've heard a bunch of AB amps. I've played through a bunch of AB amps, push-pull amps, varying wattage from, 40... 50, 60, 80, 100, you know what I'm getting at. And they all sounded different from each other too, and similar. They all have their positives and negatives. And you know what? It goes right back to so many other things that I've talked about before. It's all subjective. If it sounds good and it's Class AB, well, I mean, if it works for you, if you love the tone, okay, for example, I walk into a guitar store, I have my Les Paul in my case, I'm carrying it right in, and I'm looking at amps, and I play on four amps, and I settle on one, and I'm like, this amp sounds great, I love it, it's like one of the best amps I've ever heard in my life, ugh! And then I get to talking to the salesman or whatever, and they say, yeah, but it's a push-pull AB amp. I'm like, no, can't buy it. It's not Class A. I mean, that's just being snobby and stupid, honestly. You know, when it comes to buying an amp, let your ear, it always comes down to let your ear be your guide. If it sounds great to your ear, that's the amp to get. You know, I think something that's actually more important than the class is, I mean, of course, to how it sounds, but what's going to play a bigger role in getting a really good sound from an amp, aside from high-quality components, transformers, speakers, all that stuff, is if it's hand-wired. I mean, there are plenty of great amps out there that are made on a PC board that are constructed by some robot in China. I think the better amp, the more care in the building of an amp will take place whenever there's a guy sitting at a bench with a board with rivets, and he's soldering point to point every point on the circuit, every step of the way. That amp is going to sound better than the one that comes off the assembly line. Those production amps are great and everything. And the thing is about those production amps is you spend $350, you get an amp. It sounds pretty good. It sounds great. But to get one of those point-to-point hand-wired amps, you move the decimal point to the right and maybe double it. And that's when you're running into the cost of, say, a Dr. Z or a Bad Cat or, you know, something else. You know, whenever I see amp reviews anymore, I don't, you know, if this says A, then that's great. If it's AB, that's great. There's going to be maybe a slight difference in the onset of the distortion. But that can still happen with just the way it's wired in different ways and not necessarily how the output transformer and the output tubes work together or alone. But I do firmly believe that a hand-wired amp that's point-to-point, like my GA40, you know, you can look at the circuit board in there. There's no PC board in there. They didn't have them back then. That's not how things were made back then. And a thing sounds great. You know, whenever I see in say, Guitar Player magazine, they're talking about a bunch of amps. I'm like, ooh, that's a good name amp. You know, that's a good name company and everything. And then they show the circuit board in there. And it's all PC, you know, it's a PC board and it's just, you know, a machine made it. It just doesn't really, I lose interest. And I totally don't care if it's A or AB class. Now, whenever I see something and it has this beautiful point-to-point soldering and all this, you can see it all laid out there. It's just like, oh, that's, I love it. Totally interested in that. So, that's my opinion. That's where I'm coming from on the class warfare between your Class A circuitry and your Class AB circuitry. And it's kind of where I've always came from. And then whenever I read this book by Dave Hunter, you know, he's an expert. And it just reinforced what I thought. And I was very glad to hear that I was like, oh, I don't have any A Class A amps. I'm just not that cool. My tone's going to suffer from it. I don't necessarily believe it. And the thing is, your tone should be different than my tone. But if we're playing together in a band, it should blend, it should work together really well. But the thing is still, the tone should be different. I mean, if we have exactly the same tone, maybe, you know, who needs the other guy, really? So, that's where I'm coming from. I hope this answered a lot of questions, cleared some of this up, that honestly I think a lot of what's going on out there is hype, and I'm not going to badmouth someone saying that it's Class A, you know, an amp company touting that their amp is Class A, because it's still a great amp. I'm just not basing my purchase on whether it's Class A or Class AB. What I would base my purchase on is, one, is it hand-wired? Two, does it sound amazing? Is it blowing my mind? Is it like one of the best amps I've ever heard? Or does it perfectly fit the kind of music I'm going to play, whether it's country, blues, rock, classic rock, modern rock, emo, screamo, metal, death metal? I don't care what you throw out there. You know, the amp and the guitar have to match the kind of music you're going to play. And, you know, that's my two cents on the matter. I hope it helped, and oddly enough, I didn't talk as long this time as I did last time. Man, sure wish I would have been able to save that other one. Sure hope I get to save this one. Fingers crossed. Okay, so, again, I want to hear back from you, see what you think, if I should, back to the video topic, if you want me to show my mug in the videos, or if I should just, you know, keep chopping my head off in the videos so you can't see. I want to know. Send me emails. Chime in on the show notes. Whatever. That pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune or whatever, please let them know by writing a review, hopefully positive. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.